All right, welcome everyone back to the Power Half Hour. And this week, I've been chasing this man down for many, 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 many weeks, and had the pleasure of meeting him in Calgary, his hometown, last year in August. Just a phenomenal team leader, phenomenal human being, a father, and a great husband. Jonathan, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, John. It's good to connect.
Ah, absolutely. So, you know, we interviewed Trung, and I know you guys are partners. You guys have more or less the same type of demeanor and business and vision. But do tell us, how did you get started in real estate and where are you at right now?
Yeah, so my background is just like everybody else in this industry, sort of an unconventional path to get here. So my background is actually with the fire department. So I come from emergency services. I did about 13 years with the Calgary Fire Department, and that's always what I wanted to do as a kid. I just wanted to be a firefighter, like many young boys do, and so I did that. And at the same time that I was on the fire department, my wife was going to university, and she was a high performance runner, so she was gone competing, and I had a lot of time off with my schedule. So I started flipping houses, which was kind of like when the real estate bug bit me. And then realized, you know, these realtors that were facilitating the flips were profiting more than I was as the guy doing the work. So I thought maybe there's a business there. So it was a natural progression into real estate. And then things just sort of took off organically. And that's where we are here now. So now I run a team. We've got 8 people total on the team. We have 4 realtors. Myself as team lead. And then we have 3 admins. And yeah, this year I think we're going to be we're trying to break 200 million in terms of total volume. So yeah, things are going well.
That's a very efficient sniper team. Are you still in production yourself, selling at a high level?
I am still in production a little bit more selective with which listing opportunities I'll take on. I don't do any buyer production at all.
Okay,
but a little bit in the way of listings and yeah, so we're pretty lean and mean for sure.
That's awesome. And do you want to keep it lean and mean, or is there a plan to kind of grow that into more of an army team or a brokerage team type of style?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I love about this business is there's no real set way to do it. And there's so many business models. For me personally, I kind of like the little bit more boutique, a little bit more, you know, just kind of family type feel. So we're like a highly relational team. A lot of our business is Sphere and just referral and repeat business. And then we have like an excellent geo farm carved out. So I don't want it to get too big as you're just managing that many more personalities and that many more dynamics. We prefer to keep it a little bit more, like I say, lean and mean. So really experienced agents on my team. They've been here for a long time and it's a good thing that we have going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lean and mean and profitable, right?
Right.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, running a team, you know, you got to really look at your P&L at the end of the day. And when I was lean and mean, like having 4 agents, obviously I was still in production. So it was the highest profit that I've ever seen in my team.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And when did you start a team?
So the team actually started in 2016, and it was sort of out of necessity. It was as I was kind of navigating that transition from the fire department, where I sort of had the, you know, the golden handcuffs of a paycheck every 2 weeks and all that kind of stuff. And then I actually had a coach once who was like, you know what, like if you're going to do this, you need to decide, are you going to be a realtor or are you going to be a firefighter? Because you can do both things okay, but you can't do both things excellent. So if you want to be an excellent agent, this is what you're going to have to do. And you're going to have to hire and leverage and things like that. And so ultimately, that's sort of the path that we went. So team started in 2016 with just an assistant. Then I brought on my first buyer's agent, who's still with me today, Donna. Oh, wow. She's great. And then we've just slowly grown from there, just as the team has sort of required that additional bandwidth, we brought additional people on.
That's fair. Wow. So really, if you started, it looks like from around 2007, 2008, solo agent, and you carried that job of being a firefighter for 8 years.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a lot of agents ask me, right, John, should I go full time? Should I keep my other job? You did it for 8 years at a high, high level, selling a lot of homes. And then when you started a team, you quit that job. So if people are thinking about quitting their job, would you say do it sooner than later, or just say do it as long as possible as you can?
I think it comes to a bit of a point where whatever you're doing, you know, a lot of people look at real estate as like the side hustle, or, you know, perhaps real estate is supposed to be the full-time thing, and whatever the other side hustle is, or whatever the permanent job is, that could be perceived as the side hustle. For me, it was all about just having focus. And I loved my time with the fire department, and that was still like, to this day, if I'm working for somebody, that was the best job I've ever had. But it was a distraction. You know, I wasn't able to serve my clients the way that I needed to serve my clients, or my family the way I needed to serve my family, while I had that distraction of that other full-time job, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing is like, come up with a blueprint, like come up with a roadmap of, is this possible and how are you going to do it? Build out your plan, and then you have to rip the band-aid at some point and make it happen. So that's really what it came down to for me, was working with a coach to say, how are we going to do this? And then let's make it happen.
Gotcha. Did you have like a certain amount of, nest egg or 6 months reserve or some sort of safety net that you would say, okay, I'm ready to jump? Or was it just like, you know what, no matter how you look at it, I'm going to go full time?
I did kind of to a degree. So my wife is at home with the kids, and or at that time, you know, we've got four kids, and so they were very young. Yeah. And so what I did is I took an unpaid parental leave. So it wasn't like a paid parental leave or anything like that. It was an unpaid parental leave, and it was enough for me to say, okay, I'm going to do this for 9 months to kind of figure out like, can I do this? And are we going to start seeing some money coming in, or enough to sort of facilitate what we wanted to try and build and do? I guess there was always the panic button that I could have pressed, where I could have gone back to the fire department to continue on the way things were. But as far as like actual savings, it was actually kind of the opposite. You know, we were building a house that was way above our means, and just, you know, I'm kind of a winging it kind of guy.
Yeah.
And so I was winging it like crazy, and just let's see how it goes. And ultimately, if it didn't work, we'll course correct and off we go. And that's just the way that I kind of
worked. And it worked out really, really well, as you can see. Wow. So really giving up that job during the downturn of Calgary.
Yeah.
In 2016, and building a team and building a house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was probably, like in hindsight, there was a lot of things that probably didn't make a whole lot of sense. And I'm sure that a lot of people were looking into, you know, what Shannon, my wife and I were doing, thinking like, you guys are nuts.
Yeah.
But we've got a fairly high risk tolerance, and it worked.
It certainly worked out. How did you navigate through that downturn as a team leader and, you know, just building a team? Did your production go down? Was it a lot of panic during that time? Because it was for a lot of Calgary agents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think the thing is like, I've been very, very fortunate in that the time that we've been sort of growing and building, we've had sort of every year has been better than the last, with the exception of last year. Last year was sort of our first negative year compared to years prior. And so part of that, I think, is just trying to, when everybody zigs, you zag. And so as everyone was sort of, you know, cutting their advertising and cutting their spending and cutting it just in sort of survival mode, that's when we were really trying to double down in every single aspect that we could. So for me, it was actually a really great opportunity to start getting market share in one of our little geo farm markets. And it worked out quite favorably for us. So I think that's, I sort of welcome these downturn moments, because I think that, again, the natural tendency is that people will try to do what the majority is doing and play things a little bit more conservatively. And I think it's just an opportunity to go big and really stand out. And that's sort of the model that we employed.
That's huge. Did you learn that from your coach, to go zig when people zag?
Yeah, I did actually. There was sort of a transition of coaching at that time, and I went to a different group called Real Estate B School, and that's what they're big on, is, you know, really just coming up with that effective blueprint, thinking like 3-year vision, 1-year plan, and then 90-day quarters. You know, are we going to do in the next 90 days to try to get us closer to that 1-year goal? And that's always what it boiled down to, is like, if you want to try and get here, what do you need to do? And those action steps were never let's just cut and stop doing stuff. It was always like, you got to do something. And so that's where the zagging took place.
Wow. Okay. So coach gave you the roadmap and gave you the, maybe the idea, the vision that, hey, you know what, when everybody zigs, you zag. When everybody is contracting, you expand.
Right.
And that's what got you here today to succeed during the downturn was your mindset was, this is an opportunity for me to take market share.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So similar to what we have seen in the last couple of years, which is the market contract.
Yeah.
Right. And you're taking more market share. How are you navigating from, you know, last couple of years when the market has turned to now recovering in Calgary and beyond? What do you think is the best opportunity for agents to expand?
Sorry, rephrase that a little bit, John. So
yeah, so you know, as the market have changed, right? You're obviously, you know, taking more market share, but from now and beyond, let's say 24, 25, 26. Oh. Oh, we're back. All right.
We're back. Sorry, John. I don't know what happened there. Yeah. It was great. Whatever I did, answered was awesome. No, I think at the same time, like really not a lot has changed as far as like really figuring out that 90 day quarter, that 90 day blueprint or the 1 year blueprint or the 3 year. And it's just a matter of evolving with whatever the market conditions are. So for us, you know, it was something that we were able to capture that market share in one specific FSA or postal code. And now we're trying to expand that. And so maybe it means that we're just expanding that market share or maybe it's a systems implementation. And what's that one thing that's going to get our business closer to where it needs to be? Shoot.
We are back. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what's going on here. Yeah, I apologize.
No. Maybe it's our end. But you were saying, expanding that geo farm, taking more market share. Right. And that's just kind of how it worked out. Slow and steady, it sounds like, for you.
Yeah, it's slow and steady. I mean, certain times I think are going to be like a really aggressive push. You know, like we know that just given our particular business, we'll see about 65% of our transactions are written between February 15th and May 15th.
Oh, wow.
So if we're going to want to do 65% of our business for the whole year in that 3 month period, it means that we're planting seeds in like November, and that's when we're really hitting on like business development. Then we're busy doing the deals, and then we sort of have the summer to do a little bit more in the way of obviously that's harvest season, but at the same time, that's going to be time that we're starting to look to next year to say, okay, what's going to be our game plan for next year? So I think when certain times you need to be highly, highly aggressive, like we do a lot in the way of unaddressed ad mail. And so that would be like a super intense window that we're going to do that, but then it's going to totally let up and we're not going to do a whole lot for the last 6 months of the year. So it just depends on whatever the strategy is that we're trying to employ at that time.
This is great. I always say agents, we make most of our money Q2 and Q3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when the deals close. But like, especially for Calgary, weather gets in the way as well, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when things look the ugliest here is when we do most of our deals, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. Whoa. So Stampede Week in Calgary is the slowest week of the year, but everything else that we do is for the most part, we're a big spring market city, but especially in our little segment, our little niche with where we are in West Calgary.
Interesting. So guys, listen up. You need to know your market. And sometimes when you know February to May, you make most of your money. Maybe you could take the gas foot off the gas a little bit in the summer, which is
Yeah,
what you do, right?
that's exactly it. Yeah, you
Okay.
bet.
So I want to talk about life now because you have four kids and you run a team, $200 million, okay, every single year, guys. I don't even know how that's possible, but how do you become a great father, great husband, and a great team leader? How do you balance all that?
What's nice of you to say. I don't know that I'm quite there yet, John, but we're trying. We're trying to get to be that guy for all of those different things. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to just boundaries. And the tendency that we have in this business is that when the phone rings, you go. And I get that, because I've been there and I've done that. And I think that there are certain seasons in your life where that's appropriate. But I think there's also other seasons where that's not appropriate. And you've got your kids for so long with you. You've got your spouse hopefully forever. But you need to be able to show your family that's really where your commitment lies. So if you get that, realtor.ca lead or whatever, you've never met this person, and then all of a sudden you're skipping the kids' hockey game or the kids' birthday party to go and meet some stranger at some listing, what signal does that send to your family, right? The stranger is taking precedence over your own family. So it's just a matter of having boundaries. One of the most valuable tools that I've employed in my business is I just use a like Calendly or there's all these different scheduling links, and just to be able to give that to your clients to say, hey, choose whatever time works for you, and you give them that link. That way it's not you that's saying no to the client, because that's the part that people have problems with. And that's what I always had a challenge with, is I didn't want to be that guy on the phone. Oh, how about Tuesday at 6? Oh, it's my kid's hockey game. What about 7:30? And when you're doing the whole back and forth, if you give them the link, they can see what's available and they're going to book something. And so that's what I've done, is I've got, certain times that I'm allowed that I can go on appointments. And then outside of that, it is 100% family time. And so,
Amazing.
typically I'm done my day at 4:30 or 5 o'clock.
Awesome.
The rest of the time is for family, and don't work on weekends. And it's a much more kind of balanced type life that we've got now, which is good. And then my family knows what they can expect of me as well, which works out.
Right. So dad is off at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and dad is here all weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Amazing. So no more open houses for Jonathan.
Yeah, not a whole lot of open houses for me. Of course, there's the odd time where something comes up, or there's maybe an opportunity to do something, and but it's being a little bit more selective on when to do that. So yeah, you bet.
And so let's back up a bit because your first one was born 2007, 2008,
That's
and you
right.
have four kids. So during that time, you were doing firefighting and hustling real estate.
Right.
So did you miss out on any of their, childhood during that time? Or
Oh,
did you
totally.
set boundaries from day one?
No, I didn't. And I mean, that was a challenge, right? Like, it just was not sustainable. And that's actually why I changed coaches, was because my first coach was very much production focused. So do more deals, do more deals, do more deals. And admittedly, he got me there, which is fantastic. But the thing that you're sacrificing at that point is the time. So I was going like straight from fighting fire to the next morning, putting on my suit at the fire hall. I don't wear a suit at all anymore, but putting on my suit at the fire hall, going out and real estating all day, going back to night shift, going back to the fire hall without ever going home.
Oh my gosh.
And then I would have my 4 days off where I would be, doing a full 14 to 16 hours of real estate every day, and then I would be back on shift. So it was extremely challenging, and then that's when I realized, like, this is just not sustainable. And so it was actually a good friend of mine who's also in the industry that said, maybe you should check out this other guy. He does things a little bit differently, where he's got it figured out in terms of like life balance, and it's building a sustainable business where it's not just about the destination, it's about the journey, as cliche as that is, and start putting some of those things into practice. So just as much as one would hire a coach based on like production and business development, I think it's equally as important to have a coach that gets that. That again, it's about the full picture of your life. Like you were just saying earlier, John, you know, with things like health and faith and family, it's the full picture. It's not just about selling houses here. It's about longevity in this business and you know, how you're going to do that.
Talk a little bit more about that coaching program. I'm curious, how does he have your family and health and the whole picture in the whole coaching program, including real estate? How does that even work?
Yeah, I think so. Again, and maybe I sound a little bit like a broken record, but it essentially is, again, back to that whole 3190. So if you've read the book Traction by Gino Wickman,
Traction. Yep.
yeah,
Yep.
that's essentially what we're looking at is kind of coming up with that. You know, what do you want your life to look like from not just a work perspective, but a family perspective? 3 years out, 1 year out, and 90 days out.
Setting
And
goals for family as well.
absolutely. Yeah. So you're doing this in your business,
Wow.
you're doing this in your family, you're doing this with financial health, you're doing this in every sort of realm. And you're just looking at kind of maybe one to two rocks or actionable things that you're going to do in the next 90 days to get yourself closer to that spot. And so, you know, it could be something as simple as implementing like a date night, or it could be something as simple as, you know, your workout regime or whatever it is that you're trying to do to get you closer to that picture. So, again, just being very, very focused and then also like big on accountability. And I think that that's the thing that coaches can provide, a good coach can provide. I mean, there's a million coaching programs out there that say, you know, pay us money and you know, we'll help you get where you need to go. But the thing is unless you have the right person that is actually going to do the work and has a coach that's going to hold them accountable, people are not going to succeed. So, that's what it comes down to, I think, is having a good plan and having high degrees of accountability.
In all areas of life, having a good plan.
Yeah.
And then ultimately is the accountability portion that actually gets people to take the actions.
Yes. Yeah, for
Right?
sure. For sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Because you know, all these podcasts, we're just talking about, oh, how many homes do you sell and how much money are you making? And that basically is it. Like, oh, what's your best lead source?
Yeah.
You know, we don't
Yeah.
talk a lot about what's the other side of your life? What does that look like?
Totally, right? And I think it's kind of like the whole profitability piece too, when we're just talking about different team models out there.
Right.
Like I think that sometimes and I could go on a bit of a tangent here, like as we start
Please do,
talking.
please do.
Yeah.
Love
So, okay.
that.
So like if we just think about like conventional success in this business, right? We have been taught as agents that, you know, like right now is a perfect time. We're in like real estate awards season right now. So our social feeds are just littered with people that are at their respective conferences.
Littered is a good word.
And it's like, you know, hey, I got my, you know, whatever it is, Diamond Award or Executive Award or whatever award that nobody cares about. Like, let's be honest, nobody cares about it. It's just kind of pumping your own tires for your colleagues that are seeing whatever your degree of production is.
That's
And
right.
all of these awards are really just saying like, this is how much money I made or how many houses I sold. Which again is that's great. And I don't want to take that away from anybody. But what would be like an amazing award would be like, I spent this much time with my family, like uninterrupted, or I had this many people reach out and I did like this much referral or repeat business because I did such a good job the first time. Or, you know, even like profitability, I was this percentage profitable in my business. Like that would be something that would be interested. I'm more interested in that than I am like, okay, you sold a gazillion houses, that's fantastic, but you also spent a gazillion dollars in order to make that happen. And so at the end of the day, sure, you maybe had 3 million coming in, but you had 2.8 going out. That sounds like a nightmare. Like I want nothing to do with that business model, you know? So I think that the industry has got it all wrong in terms of like just celebrating the measurable success points, but it should really be like the other stuff, you know.
Oh,
That
I love
that's just
it.
my own personal opinion.
No, I love it. I really love what you're saying because whether we like it or not, this industry is driven by ego. There's a lot of ego. So what I'm, you know, hearing from you, Jonathan, is that you don't have any.
I'm sure I do. And I probably am being blind to the fact that that there isn't something there probably, but I always just kind of chuckle. There's a couple of close buds that are realtors with our brokerage at EXP here. And we meet once a week for a call. And, awesome. And you know, a lot of times we're just talking about this kind of stuff, but it really is kind of like the iron sharpens iron type mentality. Like what's working out there, what's not working out there. But also sort of holding each other accountable a little bit to say, like, did you take that trip? Did you turn that phone off? You know, doing things like that.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, we always play this comparison game in this industry. And again, you know, for what? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
It is, so I'm asking for myself now, because sure. I have this fear, John, of fear of looking bad.
Yeah.
And the desire to look good, like, oh, I want to be number one. Oh, I want to produce. And, you know, so how do you get away from that whole ego thing and looking good thing?
Well, first of all, you do look good, John. You're probably the best dressed guy I've ever seen. yeah. You know, I think, yeah, like, and I've done that too, like where it's the whole like looking good, the perception, and it's a perception yes. in the marketplace, or it's the perception in amongst your colleagues and all that kind of stuff. And what I found was, really when you're just kind of a little bit more true to like what you're comfortable with, you're going to naturally just attract those types of people that want to be around you, whether it's clients or whether it's agents or whether it's whatever. So I know for me, like I deal in the like ultra luxury space in West Calgary, and you know, I'm working with extremely high net worth individuals all the time. And I don't think I've ever worn a suit to a listing appointment. You know, wow. like I'll show up in like with just what I'm wearing right now, where you know, there's not necessarily holes in the jeans, but at the same time, it's just more kind of a little bit more real. Like what you see is what you get. I'm uncomfortable in a suit. And mm-hmm. and I find that that tends to resonate with clients. And if it doesn't, if I have a client that is like, man, why isn't this guy, you know, driving this particular type of car or wearing that particular type of clothing, then it's not a fit from the start. And that's cool, you know, and I just that's get to awesome. Work with people that I want to work with. So I, you know, this may not necessarily be the right answer, but I think the answer is sort of like, just stop caring so much what people maybe think or what that perception is, because the people that care may not necessarily be the people that you want to work with anyways, if that makes sense, you know? Yeah, that was probably a horrible answer. Now that
I love it. You're totally authentic with yourself. And if people like you for being you, then that's the perfect fit for business as well. And if they expect you to show up in a nice car and a nice suit, and that's just not you, we're not the right fit from the very start.
Yeah. Totally. Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's sometimes a conversation comes up and it's like, you know, oh, I was expecting you to be driving a Porsche GT3. And I'm like, oh, I'd love one day, hopefully. But I'm not going to be taking that when I do own that car. I'm not going to be bringing it to a listing appointment, because that's just not the way that I'm going to roll. Like, I want to show up. I want to be the guy that says, like, I'm confidently the right person for this, and I'm going to help you net the most amount of money when it's all said and done. But I want that to be the focus of the client, as opposed to what I'm driving or what I'm wearing or, you know, where I'm living or any of those kind of things.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
Jonathan, I absolutely love you as the person, as a team leader. You're such, you know, you should be the poster child for what EXP really is. And, you know, I tend to, you know, really buy into a lot of that ego stuff my whole career, right? So I'm really truly learning from you. Thank you for showing the way, and thank you for showing me how to be a better father and a better husband, and, you know, keeping your priorities straight. So I learned a lot from today. I don't know about you guys, but what a great interview. Jonathan, if there's one thing that you would tell the agents out there to succeed in 2024 and beyond, what would it be?
If you don't have a plan, make a plan. Like, sit down, we're so busy in this business, running on to the next thing or answering emails or, you know, answering texts or chasing the odd lead, whatever it is. Like, book an appointment with yourself for 1 hour and just sit down and write, like, where are you going? What are you actually trying to accomplish? Just figure that out. Figure out, like, where do you want to go? And then from there, you can reverse engineer it to how you're going to get there. But it doesn't matter if it's number of deals or profitability or volume or whatever it is, or getting your health under control, whatever it is, just get super crystal clear on where it is that you're going. And then you know how to get there.
Oh, I love that. Guys, sit down and, you know, we always work in our business a lot, but we don't work on our business too much. If you're failing to plan, you're planning to fail. So sit down this week, just 1 hour, maybe just write down exactly what you want your life to look like, financial, family, business, whatever it may be, plan ahead. Jonathan, thank you. I think we need a part 2, 3, 4, 5. And yeah, we need to have you on our team building mastermind. Jonathan, thank you for today.
John, I just want to say mutual respect to you, brother. And, you know, you said a lot of really nice things about me, but 100% just right back at you. And I also want to thank you for being the captain of this ship in EXP Canada. You're doing a phenomenal job, and I'm glad to see that it's you at the helm there. So keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Okay. Take care.
See you guys. Yeah.